This is Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS Radio. We might take phone calls today, Rudy. I don't know. We got virtual Michael Goudeau.
The tea's good today.
Yeah,
it's really good.
That's Michael Goudeau. He's not here. He's on vacation. He's up skiing somewhere. And while he's here virtually, Patrick just recorded a lot of Goudeau sounds. And he'll be playing them whenever he feels like it. So,
what the hell are you talking about?
Absolutely. That's Michael Goudeau in Las Vegas virtually. I'm here in New York City. And we have a real New York City show today. First of all, it is, and I'm aware of this, it is Monkey Tuesday. But I won't be doing too much Monkey Tuesday stuff today. Because we've got Judy Gold coming in. And when I say coming in, she was scheduled to be here for the whole hour. But she won't be here for the whole hour because she's not here yet. And the story her publicist told, and just so you know, publicist is another word for liar. The story her publicist told is that her kid was sick and she had to go to school and pick the kid up. But Judy Gold has been late for every single thing she's ever done. So that's not a special claim. But if anybody has a monkey story, 866-570-PEN, 7366. I'm in New York
Tuesday.
City. Monkey Tuesday.
Still not the music.
Not for you, but for me, yeah. 866-570-PEN. If you don't have letters on your phone, that's 7366. So 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. And the web address is PennRadio.com, which I haven't been to in a while, but I hope it's good. Now, we've had a lot of aristocrats on the show. We have had just recently Jackie Martling, Kevin Pollak, we had on, Louis Black, Carol Marco, David Brenner, Wendy Liebman, Gilbert Gottfried. How crazy was Gilbert Gottfried yesterday?
Which aristocrat are we having on today?
Well, we have Paul Provenza, Bobby Slayton, Carrot Top, Trey Parker, Drew Carey, Bob Saget, Phyllis Diller, The Passing Zone, Doug Stanhope, and Fred Willard have all been on the show so far. And today, and I'm typing this in right now, we will add in Judy Gold will be coming in.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. She's supposed to be coming. Did you see her?
She's right behind me.
Hi, Judy,
honey.
Sit down at the microphone. I'm already on the air. And now,
I'm totally sick.
You're totally sick?
No, my son is really sick.
He really is. You heard me say that?
I got the lowdown.
Pull up a chair. Any one of the chairs, any one of the microphones. We're doing a show after you that has two people. So you can pick either microphone.
I don't like those people.
And Rudy's there to help you there. Get a microphone. I just did the whole list of who's been on the show before in terms of aristocrats. You know, Jackie Martling, Kevin Pollak, Louis Black, Lisa Lampanelli, Howie Mandel, Meryl Marco, David Brenner, Wendy Liebman, Gilbert Gottfried, Paul Provenza, Bobby Slayton, Carrot Top, Trey Parker, Drew Carey, Bob Saget, Phyllis Diller, Passing Zone, Doug Stanhope, and Fred Willard. And now.
Now, it's me!
Now we have Judy Gold.
And I'm not pregnant.
You're not. No, you were good at the aristocrats pregnant.
I know.
You look good
and
pregnant.
Did you know? And what about my psycho attack where I called you and said, don't put
you
me
didn't,
in?
You didn't call me.
I called
you
Paul.
You called Provenza. Because you know we're the weak link in the aristocrats.
I know.
You know that you would have just got click from me.
It would have been, goodbye, have a nice day.
Yeah, but what did you say to Provenza? He just told me.
Well, this is what happened.
Okay.
Now, I did the whole thing about, you know. How dirty can we be?
You can't be dirty at all. You're on terrestrial broadcast. So we're talking a grade school playground.
So I did this. I was pregnant and I was a little filthy.
Yeah, a little dirty. In the
aristocrats. Okay.
A little dirty. Yeah.
And a little inappropriate regarding young children.
Very inappropriate.
Okay.
And regarding prenatal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then postnatal. But anyway, the point is that it was inappropriate. Now,
but not
for the movie.
Not for the movie. It was completely appropriate.
So I go home, and, you know, I was really hormonal. So I was about, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks before I gave birth. So I was really.
And you look good. You look good. Your breasts were enormous in that.
They were?
Enormous. It looked great, yeah.
Wow, thanks, baby.
That's cool. Pregnant women are sexy.
I know. I like pregnant women.
Yeah.
I like big boobs, too.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, Almalez. Did you tell them Almalez?
I didn't tell them I thought maybe you should let them.
Oh, that's appropriate for the general audience. Anyway.
There might be one person in the country who doesn't know you're a dyke.
Oh, that's true.
So you better
well, now they know. Anyway.
Were you ever closeted?
Yeah, well, I guess in college.
You were?
You know, and I tried the whole straight thing.
You did?
I think most gay people try the straight thing, But I don't think most straight people try the gay thing. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yes.
Because straight gay people are like, so it's so unaccepted, and it's so, you know, you want to be straight. You know,
it's so unacceptable. Where'd you go, Smith? Where'd you go to college?
Rutgers. No, but I mean, it was 1980. I mean, just saying.
Back in the 80s. Yeah, oh, the dark ages. Did you try? You tried going out with men?
I did. I had a boyfriend in college. I hated it. I really tried. I tried.
And you had sex with men?
Yeah. Ugh.
You didn't like it ever?
I just had a whole therapy session about this whole thing. Well, about
this
I love men.
I am not.
But I don't want to touch them.
You don't want to touch them?
I don't. I love them. I think they're great. I'm like not one of those lesbians. It's like, I know the men are horrible and they make more money and blah, blah.
Was that your lesbian voice?
That's my lesbian voice.
Really good.
Thank you. I work at a clinic and I do social work.
You know, if I did that voice, there'd be a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'm not like that. I'm just, I
but
love
did you
men.
Like, but I mean, sex is fun. Did you like any part of sex with men?
Ugh.
I mean, just the sex in general wasn't fun?
No. I love women. Love their bodies.
Of course.
About them.
But there was nothing fun about it?
Ugh.
Were you good at it at all, or were you just incompetent?
I was good at the... I don't know what I'm allowed
you're
to say.
You're not allowed to say much. We all know what you're saying.
I was good orally.
Okay.
Really good, apparently, because I have a very large mouth.
Uh-huh.
But the other... You know, it was just that I wasn't... I guess I wasn't into it. So
you also have a good body. You're sexy.
Thanks, honey.
And you're also tall, right?
I am tall.
Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's good for...
No, I like being tall. Yeah. And the boyfriend I had in college was really tall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was too skinny, though.
Too skinny?
I like a little meat.
Yeah, he was like, what, 6'8"?
He was 6'4".
That's not tall. I'm 6'6".
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
I'm 6'6", and I have meat on me. I have plenty of meat on
right.
me. I want to ask you this.
Wait, I never even finished my aristocrat, I called.
Oh,
but it doesn't
there.
Matter. We'll go back.
Go ahead. You're here for the whole hour.
I know. All right.
We can get back to that. But tell the aristocrat story then.
No. So anyway, I go home, and I get in bed with, at the time, my partner, but we're separated.
I know. That was divorced. Messy, too, wasn't it?
It wasn't as messy as it... Yeah, I guess so.
Now, yeah.
Anyway,
now
yeah,
a few years later, it's not messy at all.
I know. Now we're fine.
In real time, it was unpleasant.
Anyway, so I get in bed, and, you know, we're so different. She's very corporate.
No, you're not different. That's what's called homosexual. You are the same. Homo means the same.
Sexual.
Like homogenized milk.
No, we were different personality-wise.
Oh, personality-wise.
Yeah.
As though that mattered with sex, but go on.
Good night. So I get in bed, and I go, I just said the most disgusting thing.
You got in bed with another girl?
Yeah, isn't that great? Oh, come on. You know you love that.
I love that more than anything in the world.
Why do guys love that?
Because Penthouse just wrote about it all the time. It's also a good thing. Of course, gay male porn is a nightmare to you.
No, I like gay male porn.
It's all good.
But you know why? Because they're... And this is going to sound so lesy. Should I do it in my lesy voice? Because the men are equal partners.
Oh, come on. You weren't really going to say that. You weren't going to say that, were you?
No.
Deny that. Deny that to your death.
All right, I deny it. No, I don't know. I like guys. Because I think it's because it's so apparent that they're turned on. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's right in your face. All right, anyway, or wherever.
In someone's face.
In someone's face.
In another guy's face. But
oh
go on.
God.
So you're back. You're back in bed.
So I get in bed
with your,
and I go.
With your girlfriend. Your,
right.
your, was it wife?
Well, we couldn't get married. Whatever.
What term did you use? Did you have a term?
Partner. Which I hated.
So what I hate about that is that I have a business partner, Taylor.
Right, I know.
And I have to use the word partner. And then people say, well, you know, they say they're gay all the time. You
right.
said they say they're partners. We're business partners. We own a dry cleaning
company. I know,
company.
Exactly.
What are the words
like
you use?
We own a Starbucks together.
Sure.
I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate
but go ahead. So you're with your partner.
Spouse, whatever.
Spouse.
So we're in
spouse.
Bed.
That's
and
cool.
I say, I just said the most disgusting thing. And she, you know, she is very corporate, and she talks like this. And she was like, I know, I couldn't, I don't know what. And she, I was thinking, so she says, oh, my God, you're a mother. And you said that, and your kids are going to see that. And I was like, and I was so hormonal.
But she said your kids, not our kids?
Well, she said your, like you. You know, yeah, she said your. And,
I'm so glad you left that bitch.
I know. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I just had one of my OCD nightmare, oh, my God, attacks. And
so
then I called Paul, and he's like, oh, my God, you're not even close to being, like, the filthiest one. But I was pretty up there.
You're pretty up there. You're in the, you know, the first question Robin Williams asked was who's dirtiest so far. And we just told them, you know, you've got to go through Saget and Gilbert and Judy and
right.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh yeah, Carrie Fisher.
To even get near, you know, as far as you know, for the female thing in the movie, we had the women were up there with the dirtiest.
Right.
Yeah, you and Carrie Fisher did a fine job of carrying the torch for the women.
Thank you.
And Lisa Lampanelli did you know all her racist stuff.
Right.
So
right.
We really got it covered there.
It's really good.
But I still think Saget wins, don't you?
Oh my God, it's so hilarious, the bullet hole.
You can't thing. Touch.
Can I say bullet hole?
Sure. You can't ever touch Saget. So you call Provenza. What I want to know is he told me the conversation from his side.
Right.
But Provenza lies. So I wanted to know what it was from your side.
I just said, I really can't believe I said that, and I feel like I'm a mother, and that's on tape. And he's like, Judy, believe me. It's not, you know, don't worry about it.
Well, that's pretty much the way he told it.
All right. That's the first time he did lie.
I think the word shut up was in there, though, too. He said, I just told her to shut up.
Yeah, he probably
just
did.
He told her to shut up.
He's afraid of me.
He is afraid of you.
He is afraid of you. No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's afraid. Because the first time I met you, you know, was when I shot you doing the Aristocrats.
I know, in the back, at Caroline's.
At Caroline's. And what are you doing? You're like a big off-Broadway show now.
That's right. I have an off-Broadway show.
Well, why don't you start pimping?
All right. So it's called 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother.
Now, I have brought in my wife brought in family members. Everybody in this room is a Jewish mother. Is that right? Well, except who's over there? Oh, everybody in the room that I brought, right?
You saw it? The one at Ars Nova?
Yes.
You did? Oh, did you love it?
Who's Hillary Rosen?
She's a friend of mine.
Okay. And tell me how good your show is.
Okay.
She's not talking to the microphone, so you have to repeat everything she said.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. But what was...
She's my friend Hillary's business partner's wife.
Okay, cool.
All right. And she came to Ars Nova, but we moved the show off Broadway to the St. Luke's Theater. It's in a church, your favorite place.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
I burst into flames when I walk in there. They can't.
It's on 46th Street. It's right. It's on 46th Street on Restaurant Row. It's perfect. So
46th Street Restaurant Row?
Yeah, just eat like a pig. It's right next to Orso.
Oh, what a great place to be.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. I used to go to Orso all the time when we were.
I love it.
We were on Broadway. You're off Broadway. That's right.
We're on 8th.
It's a further walk from Broadway to Orso than it is from off-Broadway to Orso.
So anyway,
you can do that gesture. It's radio.
I can?
Yeah,
yeah.
You're welcome.
I just did a gesture and you guys can figure out what it is. Anyway, so it's off-Broadway. I didn't want to do a big... I'm not you. I can't draw like, you know, 1,000 people a night.
But pimp up your show now. People hear this.
So anyway, what happened was I went on... you know, I really don't fit into any kind of... group, which I kind of like. You know, I don't fit. I'm gay. Did I mention that? I'm Jewish.
Gay with oral skills.
Yeah.
We're getting your whole Craigslist ad all together here.
But the oral skills work well with the women.
Hmm?
Anyway, so gay, Jewish, comedian, mom, like nothing. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I stopped it. I stopped it. Did you get it?
I got it.
He got it. He's okay.
Oh, my God. I am so...
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
You are.
You mad at me?
You are gay, Jewish, a mother. My wife's angry at you now. And you like my wife.
She is hot.
Yes, she's very good. Very
hot.
Hot.
But, I said that to Candy. I go, his wife's really hot. All right, anyway.
We were going to leave. We brought our kids in to show you.
I know, but I was on the phone.
You're running so late. Yeah, what's wrong with your kid?
He had, hi, Mommy. When his voice changes, it's going to be, I don't know how he's going to do the guilt thing. Cause hi, Mommy. I had really bad.
How old is he, 15? Is that the kind of wimpy kid you're raising? How old is your kid?
10.
Okay.
Really? I mean, 4 times. He called in the middle of therapy, too. I swear to God. And I can't. I said, all right, well, can't you just stay in school for another... And it's like the noises and the... And then I have to talk to the nurse. He's such a hypochondriac. So the nurse is like, well... And she's got the whiniest Jew voice you've ever... he's okay.
You know, you didn't... When you did that voice, your voice didn't change at all. Just so you know, when you said a whiny Jew, you didn't change your voice at all. It's like, he's this loud, screaming, gruff Gentile. He sounds like this. It was exactly as if I did that. Exactly as if.
This is so much fun for me.
I'm sorry. Go on. Go on with your
story. I like those glasses. So there was, I mean, that's a visual thing.
There was a whiny Jew.
All right. So there's a whiny, so she says, I don't know. And then I had to call the nanny, and she says, all right, I'll go get him.
What did the nanny sound like? Since you're doing voices.
Oh, she's Jamaican.
Okay. We'll do the voice.
Oh, Jordy. Oh, I'm really bad, but Henry does a really good one. Henry, my son, does a really good imitation of the nanny. But she said, I'm online at the bank. I'm doing banking business. I'm like, well, the kid's sick. Go pick him up.
Bob Marley is your nanny?
Yeah. The kids are wasted all the time.
No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry.
So anyway, by the time I was almost on my way to go over there, but then she finally, I had to go get her money to go get a cab and whatever. I only have, how come she walks around with like $10 on her? What is that?
You mean nannies?
Yeah, what is that?
I've always had a lot of money on me. When I was carny trash.
Always?
I always had. I was the one you could call to bail you out at 3 in the morning.
I don't understand. Who walks around? You have to have money on you.
How much do you have on you now?
Probably 300. That's not a lot, but it's enough.
Yeah, sure. It's enough for anything. But you always have that much money on you?
I go.
I'm just talking. We have a lot of muggers that listen to the show. So I want them to know who they can hit.
I'm usually in the twos.
In the twos?
Around $200 is the minimum. I just,
that'll cover money. Then you get your credit cards. And you're
right,
fine.
I have the credit cards.
Now, have you always lived in Manhattan?
I grew up in New Jersey.
Uh-huh. What a surprise. And now you live in Manhattan.
All right, let's play a game. I talk, and you say something mean to me.
Okay.
All right?
Okay,
what do you think? Are you still mad at me?
What's
now,
mean?
See, she changed her face is so cute. You really lucked out in
I did. Lucked out a lot. In the
I know.
Thing. And are you dating now? Are you going to find another partner?
I'm enjoying the, you know, sex thing,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't have for a long time because I was married. But, yeah, I would like to find someone, but I really want to kind of date.
Well, you know, George Clooney just said in the news today that he's the sexiest man in America and dating isn't going well for him.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the big story today in People magazine.
No.
Yeah, I saw it on the web. Yeah, that's what he said.
And how many people died in Iraq?
that wasn't
that?
Covered. That great news?
I know.
But, I mean, you make it very clear that you're a lesbian and single. Does that work well for you? Do you have people coming to the show kind of trying to date
a
you?
A lot of psychos. So this one.
I don't think you have to be a psycho to be attracted to you, Judy.
Thank you.
We're playing a new game now. You say something, I say something
right.
Nice.
No. Well, I do have the ones. First of all, I'm really picky.
Uh-huh.
And I like straight women, which is
that's
really,
very good.
Works out really
very
well.
Good move.
So
I want to. Okay, we gotta take a break. But I want to talk about why you like straight women. What that's all about.
Okay, well, I will discuss that with you.
We'll be back after that. This is Penn Jillette on the big radio show, CBS Radio, Free FM.
We have to talk about the show.
We'll get to that. We're sitting here. This is Penn Jillette on the Free FM, CBS Radio. Sitting with Judy Gold, who, for those of you who tuned in late, is a Jew and a lesbian, right? Is that all we have to cover? And then
my mother and my kids are born from anonymous sperm donors.
Okay, what was that like?
You get a catalog. You do.
Do you really?
What you do is you go. This is the one I used because it's regulated. They only allow a certain amount of offspring per sperm donor. So you go online.
That's just to stop that Boys from Brazil thing?
Yeah.
That's all they're trying to stop there. What if Hitler were the sperm donor?
Yeah, exactly.
We're only going to have five.
So
only five Hitlers. We've nipped that in the bud. Okay, so they limit the amount for safety.
And they regulate. So, like, if you you can buy it all, but if you pick a sperm donor and then and there's another offspring from another mother and there's some kind of medical issue, they contact you and say, this child who had the same sperm donor has this disease, blah, 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 blah.
Now,
so they really are... All right, so anyway, so you can go online, you can go... You think it's bad?
What? Don't be talking to them. Talk
all
to
right,
me.
Because
they don't have microphones. They're just here. They shouldn't...
They have opinions, Penn!
Okay, fine. But if you keep looking at them, we're going to throw them out of the room right now.
All right,
I will throw them all around. I will turn this car around. I will turn this car around. We'll go. Okay, so you've got a sperm donor.
Oh, I have a sperm donor. And, no, so what you do is you get a catalog. You can go, apparently you can go, I mean, I did this so many years ago. You can go religion, you can go height, weight.
You can go religion?
Yeah, they have a religion catalog, which I thought you'd enjoy. So
sure.
You can go Jew, Catholic,
atheist.
Russian Orthodox, atheist.
That should be
yeah,
in there, sure.
It is in there. And so, and then, or you can narrow it down, height, white, black, green, orange, everything. And mm-hmm. then I went for health, the healthiest and smartest. Smart and healthy. And
smart and healthy?
And Jew.
And
tall.
You didn't really go for a Jew, did you?
They both have Jewish donors.
Okay.
But they, you know, and...
But you don't know who this man is?
No idea.
Now, my...
Some of them can be contacted. They sign away where you can contact them. But now, there's this thing called the Donor Sibling Registry. So apparently, all these kids who are, you know, offspring of sperm donors register online, and you can find your siblings.
Now,
because they're all teenagers.
Well, you're half-siblings, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I have a friend, a
yes.
good friend, who thinks that we are headed toward a huge crisis with kids getting to be in their teens and not knowing that their father was anonymous. Are you dealing with that at all with your son? He's 10, right?
He's 10. No, he hasn't... I've been so honest with him about everything.
So you've told him all this?
Oh, yeah, he knows. He knows how to have, you know, he knows that how he was born. And
because, you know, our Moxie, our oldest child is a test tube baby. We had the IVF thing.
Right.
Yeah. But I was a sperm donor there. So I wasn't anonymous.
Right.
Really.
But you know what? There's so much information that you could find the person like that.
Well, it's me. I could find me.
No,
like,
I'm talking
oh,
about.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. And,
I mean, even with the anonymous, you have so much. I mean, these catalogs, when you get it, it's called a long donor profile. They're like 20-something pages. It's stuff that Emily probably doesn't even know about you.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, you know, personality and medical traits of every one of their relatives.
Really?
They have to fill out their, and then they fill out their wants, desires, you know, favorite color, favorite food, favorite this, favorite. It's just really very thorough.
But you didn't
thorough.
Consider, you didn't consider a sperm donor that you knew, right?
Well,
did you go with anonymous?
Because we kept, at this time, it was in the early 90s, and we read all these books, and apparently, you know, these people we wanted our family just to be us and the kid, mm-hmm. and not there to be some other.
Like
entity.
David Crosby wasn't who was David?
Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, David Crosby.
He's pretty much the only sperm donor, and he just donates to every sperm bank. They just make up all the other.
My thinking was he isn't even your first choice of Crosby, Stills,
and
Nash.
Who would pick him? No, I wouldn't pick him.
You wouldn't pick David Crosby.
Well, first of all, I mean, he's got a little drug issue.
A little bit, but
yeah.
You think that's genetic?
Yeah, don't you think?
No.
Addiction.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't even. I don't even. I'm not even sure I believe the word addiction. But
really?
Yeah.
Why?
There's a lot. We don't really know what we mean by addiction, do we?
Well, what about these people that like can't stop drinking, can't stop eating, can't stop gambling?
Maybe they can. Maybe they don't stop eating, don't stop drinking,
right.
don't stop gambling. You have to remember, I'm New England, so there's a whole different world
right,
view
that's
here.
True.
I'm from Western Massachusetts. I may be an atheist, but I'm puritanical at heart, very puritanical.
Okay.
But you haven't said jack about your show.
My show. So 25 questions.
See, I'd be a good publicist, wouldn't I? Your
See,
publicist
that's good.
Behind me.
25 questions for a Jewish mother. So what I did was I kept getting criticized in the press for portraying, you know, I talk about my mother a lot in my act,
mm-hmm.
so I was portraying the stereotype, and I also do a lot of, I have a lot of edgy material,
mm-hmm.
and the Jews would get pissed off at me, and I went around, and one woman from the Jewish Daily Forward was, it's a very lefty left mm-hmm. publication, and you know.
What would her voice sound like?
She was pretty much the lesbian,
yeah.
but no, she would harass me, you know, call up. I did The Tonight Show. She called up my manager to complain about one of my jokes.
What joke was that?
My Anne Frank joke.
Oh, yeah? Tell it.
Really?
Sure.
All right. that I went to visit the Anne Frank house, and yeah. I kept imagining my family in that situation. You might have to put the thing, because I don't... Can you say...
Sure.
All right.
I'll say goddamn first, so you're ready.
All right. There you go. So... I went to the Anne Frank house, and I kept imagining my family in that situation because they, you know, these people lived in a very small space for 2.5 years. They couldn't make any noise all day for fear of being caught by the Nazis, which would have been the demise of my entire family because there's no way my mother would have kept her mouth shut for the entire afternoon. Judith, I asked you to wash that dish 10 minutes ago. Shut up. We're going to get caught. That's right. We're going to get caught, and we're all going to die because you couldn't wash a goddamn dish. You're proud of yourself? They're here. They're knocking. Thank you. You know, so so I got in trouble for that one.
But trouble? What do you mean trouble? One person wrote one letter?
They wrote, no. They called. They wrote stuff in the Jewish Daily Forward, and I'm thinking.
But it's one person, right? I mean, this is going to drive me crazy.
No, there were other people.
Who? How many people?
I don't need to be harassed.
Well, that's exactly my point. One person. How many people enjoyed that? Probably dozens.
A lot more.
Dozens of people enjoyed that joke.
There were a bunch of people, right?
They were upset about that?
That were upset about that.
And they're
joke.
Upset about that because you're doing a stereotype of a Jew.
I think a lot in the and I mentioned the Holocaust and the Anne Frank. Well, all right, then I had this other
joke. The Iranians are making it very clear there was no Holocaust, so you're safe on that. You're safe on that.
All right, that was just one stereotype. Then I had another joke. Do you want to hear the other one that I got in trouble
for? Yeah, I'd love to.
There was another one that I got in trouble for. There were this is true, too. There were these rabbis in Brooklyn, Hasidic rabbis, who were prosecuted for laundering drug money through their yeshiva and synagogue. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, they're definitely innocent because those Hasidim don't launder anything, right? So then I got these letters, you know, they called us dirty Jews and now you're doing the same thing. And it was just horrible. So, and I'm thinking, okay, you live on the Upper West Side in Little Israel. And I go around the country talking about being Jewish, my Jewish mother, Anne Frank, all these things that I am not afraid to talk about in front of people, yet you're sitting in your little enclave of, you know, lefty-left Jews and criticizing me. So I went around the country interviewing Jewish mothers to find out if there really was this stereotype, and that's what the show is based on, how these women changed my life, because they were completely, unbelievably incredible.
How did you find the Jewish mothers interview?
Well,
because
first,
there are millions.
Yeah, well, first, I do the movie reviews on HBO, so one of the producers there grew up in this really Orthodox enclave. She's completely non-Jewy now, but she grew up in this really Orthodox house. So I went to her mother's house, and her mother had four friends come over, and that night we interviewed them for hours. And then we went to their daughters, and then every time we'd leave a house, we'd ask, do you know anyone else that would be interested in this? Then we went to my mother, my mother's friends. Then I'd go on, everywhere I went on the road, I'd either call a synagogue or do Jewish geography and say, do you know anyone who lives here that would be interested in blah, 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 blah. So that's what we did. We traveled, and my friend Kate Moira Ryan, who's the playwright, she wrote it with me, she traveled with me, and we interviewed, we videotaped a lot of them and audio taped a lot of them.
And then in the show, do you do the characters?
I do the mothers. And we have a book coming out.
Boy,
that's
you're cashing
right,
in on
that. That's right, baby. You know, I know who goes to the theater. The Jews and the gays, baby.
You got them covered.
That's
this
right,
is
baby.
Ben Gillette, who is neither Jew nor gay. And I'm talking to Judy Gold, who's both. This is CBS Radio and Free FM. And we'll be back right after this. CBS Radio, Free FM. See with Judy Gold, who's talking to my family instead of to me. But you're back here now. You have full attention.
I'm here.
Full attention now. So in this show, in this wonderful show about Jewish mothers.
25 questions for a Jewish mother.
You're not just,
say it 100 times.
Sure. You're not just doing stand-up.
Oh, it's no stand-up.
No stand-up.
No. I mean, there's a couple of jokes. I do a couple of the jokes that get me in trouble.
Uh-huh.
And then I go into the whole story of why I'm doing the show and blah, 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 blah. And how these women really did change my life.
So this wasn't just jive. It wasn't just like, oh, they've been bitching at me, so I'll go out and do this. And
no. Initially, I went out to see if there really was a stereotype. But then what ended up happening was I found these women, they were fascinating.
Now, you're going to women that are you seeing Jewish as religion,
no.
culture, or race?
It was everything. It okay. was, some people had no idea they were Jewish. A lot of them were non-practicing. A lot of them were, we went the gamut, like ultra-Orthodox to like absolutely, I don't even, you know.
But what defined them as Jewish then, if they'd said?
They were born Jewish. Oh, a lot of them, some of them converted. I shouldn't say they were born Jewish. They were just Jewish mothers. That was the only thing. They had to identify as Jewish and
they had to call themselves Jewish.
Jewish mothers,
but
right.
No matter how they called themselves Jewish, you didn't care.
You know, like you could say, you know, my family's Jewish. I don't feel Jewish, but we still considered you a Jewish person.
So you okay. So you consider Elvis Jewish?
Yeah. Yeah. Elvis is Jewish.
His grandmother.
Is that true?
Yeah.
His mother's mother?
Yes. So he is.
So I would consider him. Yeah, I don't know if I would.
By the Jewish definition, which is only for being a Jew. It's like wearing a Mason ring. You can't wear it if you're not a Mason, unless you're not a Mason, then you can wear it because it's not your rule.
Right.
But the same thing here.
But you know why it's the mother, right?
Of course, because you don't know who the father is.
Right, exactly. Sure. You can't always be certain who the father is.
Sure, so they do that. But you don't have to be there. But they did this. One of the greatest articles that I ever read was the thing of, like, 2 years ago in the New York Times. A guy was being interviewed about doing this documentary, and they got documentation that Elvis was Jewish, and a bunch of very, very strong Jews wanted to go and do a documentary of going down south and showing people the proof that Elvis was Jewish and filming their reaction. And they had to stop after 6 months of filming because they would do this. People would go, oh, really? And that was it.
That was it. They didn't care.
They didn't care at all. They just thought that was an interesting thing. And I just said, you know, it's like the Borat movie.
Right.
You've
got
to work really hard to find serious anti-Semitism.
I know.
In a country of 300 million people, you'll find it.
Right.
But it's just you're going to have to work hard. And the proof of that matter is that the people looking for anti-Semitism are... You know, that's where they have to look for
it,
because you can't see it, you know.
Well, I, you know, like that rabbi in Seattle that made them take the Christmas tree out of the airport, that pisses me off.
Why is that?
You know, look, because I went to public school, I know I'm a Jew, I don't need a menorah up to, I don't know, it just pisses me off. And then there's part of me that thinks, oh God, they're going to hate us even more because now the rabbi, he just said,
So bad for the Jews, as opposed to good for the Jews. Rabbi taking out the Christmas trees.
He didn't want them to. He just said, can you put up a menorah? And they said, no, we don't have time, so we're just taking the Christmas tree down.
Well, then you have to start doing everything, you know?
That's what they said.
Yeah, because, you know, the atheists are going to want to model the atom.
I don't care if there's a Christmas tree.
You know, a big model of the atom and a picture of Darwin and Newton and Copernicus. They're going to want all that stuff up there just to get the Christmas tree and get it over with.
Yeah.
And what was your feeling on Santa Claus? We always talk about this on the show because of my wife's psycho feelings about Santa Claus.
Psycho? What kind of psycho?
Well, Emily has a very strong feelings that telling kids about Santa Claus is wrong. Did you raise your kid with Santa Claus?
No.
Okay, exactly. So you agree with my wife on everything, isn't that right?
I think it's pretty much.
I think so.
Yeah.
She would write to you all the time and say, I agree with Judy on everything.
Yeah, I don't. The Santa Claus thing is ridiculous.
So you didn't raise them with Santa Claus?
No, but I do the Tooth Fairy thing. Sorry.
Did you have a Christmas tree?
I mean,
if we go over to the Gold household,
no.
Is there a menorah up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, not up. No, we would light the menorah, the candles, and tell the story, and that was it.
So you do keep that whole thing?
Yeah.
But do you consider yourself religious?
I consider myself
if there's a bucket in for you?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty... You know, I just love parts of the religion. I don't adhere to everything, but I love being a part of this people and the customs and passing them down. And I don't know, it helps me to, you know, I don't know, bring my past, my grandmother and all these people that my kids will never know. And I don't know, I like the holiday. I do, I love it. I think it's fun.
Okay, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Do you believe in God?
Sometimes I do.
Okay. The night before reviews?
Sometimes I don't, yeah.
But how is do you show any of the videos or anything, or is it all done by you?
It's all done by me.
And do you like reading, or?
No, it's a play.
But sometimes.
I know, like in the vagina monologues.
Newfangled plays.
Yeah,
they read
all read. No.
Just to show that it's not their words and so
on. We can get a testimonial.
Right, no, we can't. There's no mic over there. Stop talking to her. Talk to me.
Whatever.
You really
want to see it again? Some people have seen it many times.
Yeah. What's the most? What's the most times?
I don't know. I know someone I know one of the producers has seen it over 30. But then there was a guy that came the other night for the fourth time.
Really?
Yeah.
A guy?
A guy.
A guy?
Guys love it. candy, guys love it, right? She just put her finger up.
That's never true.
Guys,
that's like Penn and Teller trying to say young women like Penn and Teller. We stab things and blow things up. No, nobody likes us. But
right. I'm telling you, guys like it.
Guys like the show? Mm-hmm. And how big this is? You're going to tell me something about the theater.
This is so great. So the theater is in part, it's part of a church. It's the basement of a church, right? But it's a nice theater. And so.
Now, don't you people like your skin burns when you go into a church?
No.
Okay, I don't know everything about Jews. Okay.
No, there was one really, really religious woman who wouldn't go in because it was in a church. She said, oh, I'm not allowed to. I was like, oh,
right on,
shut up.
I'm on her side. Go ahead.
Thank you.
I wouldn't go into church.
Really?
No.
It's the basement.
I won't go in it, but go ahead.
All right. Anyway, it's a theater.
Okay, theater, if it's really a theater, it's okay.
It's a theater.
Is there also a church there?
It's separate entrance, separate everything.
Okay.
It's separate.
We'll talk about this later. Tell me the great story.
So anyway, so this guy is walking by, and there's a big marquee that says Judy Gold in 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother. So this guy's walking
by. It says Judy Gold in 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother?
Right. That was not the original title.
And that's on 46th Street?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure I had it all. Between 8th and 9th, 46th Street.
Right.
Judy Gold
in. And there's 8 shows a week. Anyway.
8 shows a week. Matinee on Sunday
and
Wednesday.
And Wednesday and Saturday.
And Saturday.
Right, so he walks by and he says to his friend, oh my God, look at this show and look where it is. It's in a church. This is America. This is the way we do it here. You tell that to those Muslim extremists, all right? And then he walked away.
That's great. That's perfect.
I like that.
He's exactly right. I thought you were going to tell the joke about the two Jews walking down the street and the Catholic Church says $50 if you come in and convert. Do you know that joke?
It sounds familiar.
You must know that joke. It's a great joke. So one of the Jews goes in and he spends his 3 hours and he comes out and says, okay, I'm a Catholic now. And his friend says to him, did you get the $50? And he goes, what is it with you people and money? I thought that was the joke you were going for.
No.
I thought you were setting that up, and I was going to help you with that joke.
No.
You just set it up. But put that in the show.
No,
you can't, because I'm not a Jewish mother.
That is hilarious. I got to tell my mother.
Now, did you ask the same 25 questions?
Yeah, well, we had a list, and we had to cut it down to 25 because people wouldn't shut up. But there were some different ones. Like, for a Holocaust survivor, we wouldn't say, you know, there were certain questions, like, for a really religious person. Then there was a person who didn't even realize they were Jewish until they were, you know, older.
How'd you find them, the people that didn't realize they were Jewish?
I don't know. One of them was a friend. Well, one, they grew up in your little area of the neck of the woods, and they were the only Jews, quote unquote.
Well, then undoubtedly I know them.
Yeah.
I knew the one Jewish family in Western Massachusetts.
So they wanted
the Borofskis.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least they didn't change their name. But anyway, so they were like the only Jews, quote unquote, in the country club. So the parents just were like, you're not really Jewish. They wanted to be WASP. Mm-hmm. So that was a friend of a friend, how I
Now, what
her.
Stereotypes did you find were true?
The only stereotypes that were true were that they all talk to their kids every day.
But that's parents, isn't it?
No!
I talked to my mom every day that we were both alive.
Well, then you're a good son. Because most people do not talk to their parents every day. But the Jews, and even like the ones that lived in Israel or Switzerland, it was like 5-6 times a day they would talk. I'm telling you. That was the one thing. And every time we went to someone's house, they had food.
But that's true for everybody, isn't it?
No!
My people, the Gentiles.
No.
You can always get a fluffernutter.
No.
You get a fluffernutter and a Coke.
No.
You go in their house anytime, they'll make you a fluffernutter, they'll give you a Coke. I mean, it's different food.
Right.
You know, but, you know, we would have food around.
Right.
You think that Gentiles don't eat and don't talk to their offspring?
No, I do. I think they don't talk to their offspring as much.
Okay.
And I think they eat, but they never have enough food. It's like if you have a party, a lot of Gentiles I know, and now I'm going to get, forget it, hate email, but a lot of times.
You don't need
like,
email. I'm right here to hate you.
I'm speaking for
the Gentiles.
I know the non-Jewish friends that I have to eat before I go over their house for dinner.
That's not true.
Yes! One time I was at a neighbor's. She will never know. So should we go over there.
No chance your neighbor listens to me.
So we go over there. She's like, oh, well, you know, we'll invite. She had a couple of neighbors over for dinner. So we go over there, and we're eating this fish soup that she made, and there was bread in the middle, and there was the fish soup. And someone said, oh, this is really good. This could be a main course. And she was like, it is the main course. And that was it. It was the fish soup. That was it. Fish and bread.
How much food do you want per person when you go?
A lot. I want there to be leftovers. I want to be able to, 2 hours later, after I've been sitting on the couch with my button open on my pants, I want to go back and have more. Should be a lot of food.
A lot of food.
Don't you think? Yes.
They all agree. Yeah, I like there to be a lot. Look at me. I'm 300 pounds. To be a lot of food.
You look good for 300 pounds.
Well, thank you.
I guess the 6'6 thing. Huh?
That helps. You know, that makes a difference. You know,
that's more than me.
I was telling you, I know, I'm much taller than you. I could eat off your head.
But I weigh 190 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
190 pounds, and how tall are you?
6'3".
6'3".
I think I'm like 6'2 and 3/4.
So now you're lying about it? Or?
Oh, God.
Did you play women's basketball?
No, I was
being a lesbian? And
I know,
tall?
I am so not fitting that stereotype either. But what happened was, I was in 8th grade, I tried out for basketball, and he said, you're too tall, and it's not fair to the other kids.
You're kidding me.
I swear to God.
Where did you go, to Kurt Vonnegut High School or something? What?
I don't know.
It's not supposed to be fair.
I think he hated Jews.
It's not supposed to be fair. You're supposed to win.
He said you're too tall.
So then
I joined the marching band because that was, you know, so I'm 6 feet tall and in the marching band, so I was really popular.
And what instrument did you play?
I play clarinet, which is the most attractive. I was like, you look up nerd in the and I'm 6 feet tall. And I couldn't even get, like, you know, you had to wear white shoes in the marching band.
Sure. Well, spats.
Yeah. I couldn't even find them in my size. I was a size 12. I have a large penis as well.
You know, I was in band, but at least I was a drummer.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. So at least
you were cool.
That's his kind of border.
What drum did you play?
I was a snare drum.
Cool. Those were the cool.
Drummer. I could also read music, which for a drummer to read music is just, well, stupid.
Right.
And I had the longest hair in my school. So I was covered on every front.
And you guys were high all the time, too.
Everybody, all the other drummers in my section, there were four of us, every one of them, I believe, went directly from high school into prison on drug abuse.
No way.
That's true. The one of the guys who played drums was not high on, you know, marijuana.
Right.
He was shooting heroin all the time.
No, in high school?
Oh, sure. I graduated from rural high school in 1973, and that is, I believe, the peak of drug use, which is one of the main reasons I've never even had a beer in my life, you know. I'm more anti-drug.
Do any drugs?
Never, ever. Not once.
Really?
Not a puff of marijuana. Not I didn't inhale. I left the room. I wanted nothing to do with it.
That is incredible. And why did you not do it? Like, what made you not?
Because I was around kids that were entirely high all the time, and I hated them.
And you weren't curious as, like,
not
what is it
all.
About this?
Not how stupid can I get? That was how curious I was going to be. I was there with Frank, you know, who was on heroin and everything else in the world.
Unbelievable.
And they would be over vomiting while I was trying to read the drum part. I was just covering for them all the time. That's all I did. All I did all through high school is drive people home.
And you never had a drink?
Never, ever. I was the one at the parties where they were all on acid. I was the one that answered the phone and talked to parents. That was my job. Oh, you know, John just stepped out. He went down to the corner to get us some pop. He was going down to get some cola, and he's passed out in a pool of his own vomit. And I'd be going, but he'll be cool. He'll be home. He'll be home.
And did they all think that Penn is such a nice boy?
No, they all hated me most because I was the drug addict, because I had hair down.
Because you had long hair.
I had really long hair, and
isn't
I wore eye makeup.
Crazy?
And I was the drug addict that they didn't want their kids to be around.
Right.
So that's just the way it
was. P.S. All their kids are incarcerated.
All of them on drugs. And I'm here talking to a Jewish lesbian.
That's right,
the
baby.
Dream of everybody, every Gentile from Massachusetts, the dream was to talk to a Jewish lesbian.
Blessing.
And I've done that. 25, you hear the music coming in the background?
Does that mean we're done?
You've done a whole hour. 25 questions
like
for
that.
A Jewish
I didn't
mother.
Get to say why I
Judy
like straight Gold. Women.
Why do you like straight women?
Because your wife's so hot.
We'll be talking to you tomorrow.